Banks Radio Sport, driven by Rex Motor Company.
Good evening, sports fans. Welcome along to another episode of Friday Sport Preview, where you and I celebrate all the major sporting events happening on the island while sitting firmly on our backsides. Coming up on tonight's show, the first woman to represent the Isle of Man in boxing at the Commonwealth Games is spotted by Netflix.
The guys yesterday just said, look, obviously we've heard about your story and being the first female to go and represent the Isle of Man at the Commonwealth.
The Isle of Man FA is on a recruitment drive to one, get more girls playing the sport, and two, boost the number of referees.
People coming over to you, shaking your hand, well done ref, thanks for today ref.
And a man is trying to break a world record by swimming to the island from Whitehaven.
We've got two kayakers that are going to be in the water.
All that and more coming up on tonight's episode of Friday Sport Preview with me, Rhianne Evans. Thank you very much for keeping me company. Put your feet up, relax. I've got you from here. Starting in the boxing ring, a local boxer says she feels overwhelmed after meeting and training with two-time heavyweight champion Tyson Fury. The Gypsy King has been on the island for an event and met with Commonwealth Games hopeful Jade Burden. He was joined by the crew filming his upcoming Netflix special, who also showed an interest in the budding Manx athlete. Jade has been telling Amy Griffiths how it all came about.
My coach put me in touch with his manager and we hit it off. He literally just messaged me saying we're coming down the gym. I kind of didn't really know roughly when. And when he turned up, he's such a presence, isn't he? He's such a big guy, like, wow. And just looking around, like, seeing, you know, all the youngsters and the other boxers, just in complete awe of him. What a nice guy as well. He's amazing. I had the pleasure of also, like, going for a run with him, you know, when he was just so down to earth, asking about my boxing and, you know, what my future plans are. And it was just absolutely inspiring to be able to run alongside the heavyweight champ of the world. So, yeah, honestly, I'm literally on cloud nine at the minute. Yeah, and it's come at a good time. It really has.
Well, exactly, because you're, of course, like training for the Commonwealth Games as we speak. And were you expecting him to be so open with you and so generous with his time?
No, not really, because I thought, oh, maybe just kind of come in for a flying visit, obviously do the show and go. But I met him last night, met him this morning. I'm going to see him later on. Yeah, he's, you know, we're kind of both in the same situation. He knows what it's like. I know what it's like. So we can kind of relate on quite a few things. But no, honestly, he's amazing.
And he wasn't alone. He also had his whole Netflix crew, because he's filming this Netflix special at the moment as well. And I hear that they took a particular interest in you.
Yeah, so the guys yesterday just said, look, obviously we've heard about your story and being the first female to go and represent the Isle of Man at the Commonwealth. Hopefully we can kind of catch up with you. So if it works well, we'll have a chat. But yeah, I was quite surprised, to be honest with you, because I'm not really into, like, I'll do the interviews and things like that. You know, I like to kind of just focus on what I've got to do. And you kind of forget that all this comes part and parcel, doesn't it? But yeah, I'm a bit kind of overwhelmed with it all, to be honest.
Has he given you any tips for the Commonwealth Games?
All he said to me is just leave it all in the ring. Obviously, do your best, enjoy it. And to be honest with you, he's totally right. I think as soon as you start putting pressure and expectations on yourself, they'll play a part in the back of your mind. So I don't have any expectations other than just to enjoy it and do my best. And like with being from the Isle of Man, you know, I've got a huge sense of pride coming from here, so that'll give me that extra boost as well.
Jade Burden speaking to Amy Griffiths there.
Manx Radio Sport, driven by Rex Motor Company. Find your dream car by visiting rexmotorcompany.in today or find us on Facebook.
Moving on to athletics now, and the Isle of Man being able to take a large squad of athletes to the 2022 Commonwealth Games is testimony to all the hard work the team members have put in to get to this stage. That's the belief of Team Isle of Man athletics coach Steve Partington, who says it's a privilege to be managing the group ahead of the event in Birmingham, which opens next Thursday, the 28th of July. For the first time, the Isle of Man will send a 7-strong athletics team to compete for honours in Birmingham. Sarah Astin, Rachel Franklin, Joe Harris, Ollie Lockley, David Malarkey, Glenn Quayle and Sarah Webster. Mr. Partington says his responsibility is to make sure those individuals get all the tools they need to do as well as they can.
I always think the athletes can only really compare against what they've done in the past. It's a massive sort of, it's a global games really, and some of the best athletes in the world. So it's very easy to get sort of caught up in the whole sort of pressure situation. And I think part of my role is just to make sure people realise they're just, it's just another competition, and hopefully they can aspire to, you know, be better than they've ever been before. So that's the aim really. It really has been a fantastic year so far, and everyone's aiming really high, and there's been Manx records left, right and centre. We've got a wide variety of events, like you say. We've got throws, pole vault, middle distance, long distance, and it's just so exciting to see how they've raised their games this year, getting towards... It's obviously difficult to peak at that time, but most people seem to have nailed it, and we'll just see how they get on.
Isle of Man team coach Steve Partington there.
Manx Radio Sport, driven by Rex Motor Company. Find your dream car by visiting rexmotorcompany.in today, or find us on Facebook.
Moving on to football, and in just over a week's time, FC Isle of Man will begin their new league season in the NWCFL Premier Division after being promoted in the last campaign. This Saturday sees the final game of their pre-season preparations, and there will be silverware up for grabs. After a two-year absence, the Skipton Cup is back as the Ravens take on Guernsey at the Bowl this Saturday at 6 p.m. FC Isle of Man manager Chris Bass spoke to Rob Pritchard about tomorrow's game and also how he feels their pre-season schedule has gone so far.
I think even back then, I think it was a brilliant competition. The trip to Guernsey was amazing. I thought that we played very well in the two games. I think we deserved to win both games. But it's been a while now. They've had a full season. Like I say, they're changed. And the beauty of this is that the team seemed to change a lot. The ones that we seem to play, they seem to be changing all the time, evolving. And against Guernsey, the two games before that, I thought they were brilliant. And the interest is still as strong as ever. And hopefully we'll be able to give Guernsey a really good game on Saturday and get the right result. It's a cup at the end of the day, and we don't like losing, do we?
Comparing now to, say, 12 months ago, where you didn't have chance to get a pre-season schedule in because of all the border restrictions that were in place at the time, just how valuable is it when you compare to last summer? How valuable has it been to actually have these games and this time to prepare in place?
I think that having the time has been brilliant because we've been able to vary what we do in training. But more importantly, without the COVID, we're not going to be travelling, you know, over 3,000 miles before Christmas. It's going to be more evenly spread. So that in itself will give the guys a little bit of time to repair, and little knocks and things, they'll get a little bit more of a rest. So I think, in all, having the pre-season, it's put us, like I say, it's put us in good stead, and we're looking forward to Saturday.
Looking at this weekend's game, what are the things that you've earmarked in terms of what you would like to achieve from the Skipton Cup game in particular?
I'll be happy if what we've worked on in training, if it comes off once or twice in that game, I'll be over the moon, because it means that the players are taking the information and we're starting to move forward.
Chris Bass there speaking to Rob Pritchard. And sticking with football, a recruitment drive is underway to try and increase the number of referees on the Isle of Man. Development days are being held next week to teach people what's involved in being a referee, whilst hoping to encourage others to get involved in officiating in Manx football. The island's referee development officer is Paul Hodgkinson. He spoke to Rob Pritchard about why getting more people involved in refereeing locally is so important and some of the rewarding aspects of the role.
I think we're starting from a really strong base, to be honest. Obviously, everything can be improved, and that's something that we're going to be certainly looking at over the coming months and years. We've got a new referees course being held on the 30th and 31st of July, end of the month, Saturday and Sunday. And it's just a message to try and get people, if they're interested in refereeing, to come down and see what we do. We get a lot of people, obviously, who are involved in the playing side, the coaching side, and it's about opening the refereeing side and everybody seeing what we do from our perspective.
This referee recruitment drive that's coming up, could you just tell us a bit about just the sort of things that will be covered as part of that?
Yeah, so we'll be looking at the laws of the game. Obviously, that's an important part of being a referee. But it's more the other side of it as well, using the soft skills that we use in our day-to-day jobs. For example, a teacher, he's in a classroom, he's looking after 22 pupils, and that mindset of being taking it onto a football pitch, how would he deal with situations in a classroom, and trying to mirror that on a football pitch and build those communication systems that way.
A huge part of it, of course, is learning the rules, being able to implement them where they need to be. But that idea of having certain ways of communicating it with players, just how important is that from a refereeing perspective?
It's absolutely imperative, to be honest. I think the more we can talk and not always explain our decisions, but just sometimes have those quiet words here and there. If sometimes you're busy, but talk to the players, let them know, I can't do this, I'm just concentrating, but I'll get back to you. 2 minutes later, you go back to him, you have a conversation, everybody's happy then. And I think that's something we certainly can work on.
And what do you find are the most rewarding things on the refereeing side of things? Because, you know, when lots of people think of football, they think of playing or coaching, and refereeing is an absolutely crucial part of it all happening. What are the most rewarding sides of the refereeing side?
Being involved in football still, at the end of the game, certainly for me, getting people coming over to you, shaking your hand, well done ref, thanks for today ref, is massive. It gives you a great sense of achievement and makes you proud, to be honest.
Now, what are the concerns some people might have? They may have considered the idea of maybe being a referee going forward, but some might be concerned as to how they would be able to communicate with players properly, may have concerns about maybe what they've seen elsewhere. Some referees may come under fire for decisions. What would you say to alleviate people's concerns around that if they're interested in getting involved?
I think, again, you mentioned it, it's the communication. I think if we can become better communicators on and off the pitch, be it when we first turn up, we'll go whichever ground we're at, we'll find somebody. Hiya, I'm Paul, I'm your referee today. And it's about building those bridges, making us as referees and yourselves appear human and personable. I think if we can break down those barriers, then I think a lot of the horror stories, if you will, that you hear, we won't hear as much of.
And just come back to the recruitment drive here specifically, from your understanding at the moment, what do you make of the refereeing number levels at the moment on the Isle of Man? And also, what target would you like to see hit further forward?
They're critical, to be honest. Obviously, without referees, we struggle to get a game of football on. So I'd encourage anybody, even if you just want to see what refereeing's about, come down, have a go. In terms of the future going forwards, obviously every game on the island is covered by a referee. That's certainly an aim of ours as an organisation, and also trying to cover all the Premier League games, try to get assistance on those as well, because I know how difficult it is sometimes.
Why do you think, possibly from those you've spoken to already, why do you think it may have got to this point? Why isn't there that interest just at the moment?
I think some of it is not knowing what we're about from a refereeing point of side. Again, like I say, everybody's au fair with the playing, the coaching, but not everybody understands the referees. They just see us as a man in black or a woman in black on Saturday, you know, so we're not seen as those people and the personable. So I think there's been cases in the past where, going back to the horror stories, and maybe that's put people off, but I want to try and encourage as many people down to come and see and show you that's not the norm. That doesn't happen every week, and just show you how rewarding it actually is.
It's not just maybe just lifting the levels of referees in general, but a key driver could be to get more female referees involved as well. How important would that be to have more female officials in the Manx game?
Absolutely imperative. We've obviously got a couple of registered female referees, and we're working hard with them to try and obviously develop them, use them as role models to show all the young girls out there that they can do that. It's another pathway. If they don't fancy playing, why not come and try refereeing? Same with coaching and things like that. You might get into the end of your coaching career and go back into football, you know? So it keeps you involved.
In terms of making sure that you have the right amount of officials available every week for games across the Isle of Man, just how important is it just to make sure that things can keep happening?
Yeah, referees, I think sometimes we're an easy target. I think there's obviously certain ways that we've identified as an organisation, and that's something that we'd like to try and talk to people about at the development days and things like that, and the recruitment day. So come on down, see what we're about, and hopefully we'll get you all out there on a Saturday afternoon and enjoying yourselves running around the pitch.
For those who are listening and are possibly interested in coming down to these development days as part of the recruitment drive, when and where are they taking place, and how can people get in touch or find out more details?
Taking place down at the Bowl on Saturday the 30th and Sunday the 31st. If you can't make both days, don't worry about it. Try and get yourself down. We will be putting more things out there if you can't make either of these dates. So please don't be afraid to get in touch. We've also got, obviously, the website, the Isle of Man website.
And sticking with football, once again, we will move on shortly, but a couple more very important football-related stories for you. The Isle of Man FA, it isn't only on a recruitment drive for referees. It's also on a recruitment drive to get more girls involved in the sport. It's hosting a free Come and Play Fun Euro tournament for under 10 and under 12 girls to celebrate the awesomeness of the 2022 Women's Euros. Any girls who currently play football or anyone who is interested in giving it a go are being invited to take part. And it's not only being used to celebrate the Euros, but as I said, to continue increasing the participation of female players and also volunteers, which in turn should help boost the number of women's teams at local community football clubs. The tournament itself for the under-10s and under-12s is taking place on Sunday the 24th of July from 11:30 until 2:00 at the Bowl. More information on how you can get involved can be found on this story at manxradio.com on our sports page. And Malou AFC is also on a recruitment drive to get more women playing football. The club is currently in the process of rebooting its ladies team, which is fantastic. No prior experience is needed, but you do have to be over 16 years of age. If you'd like to give it a go or find out more information, you're asked to contact Tara on 0764 397 646. Again, though, don't worry if you didn't have a pen and paper handy. You'll be able to find that number at manxradio.com on our sports page.
Manx Radio Sport, driven by Rex Motor Company. Find your dream car by visiting rexmotorcompany.in today or find us on Facebook.
Looking to cycling now, and the Isle of Man will play host to an elite cycling competition from today for the next 3 days. The Manx International Stage Race gets underway from this evening until Sunday evening as part of the annual British Cycling National Road Race Series. That is not the easiest thing to say. The competition sees 8 events take place across the British Isles and the Isle of Man, providing high-class competition for the top female and male British professional and amateur domestic racing teams. The first stage is taking place today on a 1.1-kilometre circuit around the Isle of Man Business Park in Braddon. Roads around the business park have already been shut, but they are due to open no later than 10:30 tonight. The women's race is due to begin at 6:45 p.m. and then the men's race from 7:45 p.m. Details of the road closures and the event schedule over the next 3 days is available online at manxradio.com on our sports page. Sticking with cycling, and the famous William King has been chatting with the Isle of Man cycling team manager and coach for the upcoming Commonwealth Games, Andrew Roach. Household names like Ben Swift and Mark Cavendish are among the athletes under his remit during the competition. Andrew told William King about the other Manx names to look out for.
Well, I mentioned the women's team. So we've got Lizzie Holden, so she's starting the Tour de France this weekend. Amazing, you know. The women's, the Tour de Femme as it's called now, it hasn't been around for, it's got to be 20 plus years, maybe even 30 years. So absolutely amazing to have Lizzie in the team. And she'll be team captain, if you like, with the riders within that mix as well. So really good opportunities for them. And then, you can reel off all of the names that we've got. Becky Story's been doing brilliantly this year on the UK scene and also had some good results away. Anna Christian, professional now for a number of years. We've got Amelia Sharp, and then into the men's, the guys. We've just got numbers. Something we've never had is strength in numbers. We've always had one rider like Cav has ridden the games before previously, but never really a backup to help support that. And this time round, we've just got so much strength and depth. It's going to be brilliant. For me, it's like watching people I've seen grow up and really hoping to see them just get the best out of themselves and hopefully carry away a gold medal between them.
Manx Radio Sport, driven by Rex Motor Company. Find your dream car by visiting rexmotorcompany.in today or find us on Facebook.
Looking to the world of netball now, and last weekend was a successful one for Isle of Man netball. A squad of 14 travelled to Bristol to compete in the Centre Court tournament. Players were split into two teams, the Manx Mists and the Manx Mavericks, to play in shortened 14-minute matches, 7 minutes each way. The Manx Mists started strong on day one, going undefeated in the 6 games in their group. Mavericks, however, followed suit in the afternoon group, coming out with 6 wins and a draw. 7 more games lay ahead for both sides in day two as the top 4 from each group went head-to-head. The tournament finished with a Manx gold and silver. Mists took first place, beating all teams bar their Isle of Man counterparts Mavericks, who claimed second following 2 narrow defeats after losing a player to injury. And finally, a former army captain is attempting to make it into the Guinness Book of World Records as part of a two-day challenge that will see him travelling from the UK to the Isle of Man. But there's a catch. He won't be flying or sailing. Instead, he will be swimming the 51 kilometres across the Irish Sea. His mission is inspired by three things. The fact that it hasn't been done before, to undertake research of the sea, and to raise awareness of mental health. Earlier this morning, Adam Diver, apt name, left Whitehaven, but before he did, he spoke to Chanel Sukhu.
This started off in lockdown. My local pool at Fleetwood closed. I'd go swimming regularly with my son. My son's a competition swimmer. So what we did, we decided to go in the sea every time we could have the hour off to do some sort of sport and to leave the house. We decided to go swimming. And what we did one day is we were swimming and it was quite clean. We could see the Isle of Man. My son said, "Oh, do you reckon we could swim to the Isle of Man to see Nan and Grandad?" Because my mum and dad live in Peel. And then from there, really, seed was set. And so I googled it. I looked it up, see if it's been done before, which it hasn't. It's been attempted by a Manx team, a relay team. I then started the ball rolling to do a bit more, get more information on it. And that's how it really started. So it started with my son, Dexter, planting that seed. So we've charted it out. We've looked at the tides. We've looked at the currents. I've got quite a few friends who work in the Nautical College at Fleetwood. We looked at the simulators. We charted it out, looked which was the best route and the best time. And then, this was over 2 years of planning.
Is it just you that's doing the swim, or is it you and your son?
Probably some might attempt it maybe somewhere down the line, but it's just me. There's around about nine of us who are coming on the trip. So we've got a medic, we've got an engineer, we've got three people who are going to be captain in the boat. We've got two kayakers that are going to be in the water with me. And we've also got a research team coming as well. So that they're going to bring a marine probe and they're going to look or gather data for climate change and also collect any microplastics that are in the Irish Sea and then use that data going forward with the local university. So it's quite a big crew. We've also got a liaison officer coming with us who is liaising with the Isle of Man at all times.
2 years into the planning, how's the preparation been?
So at the moment, I've been training for at least three times a day for the last 2 months, but I've been swimming every day. I'm in the Great Britain triathlon team for my age. I keep myself active, keep myself fit, and I've been a swimmer since I was around about 5 years of age. So the preparation has been going well. I mean, my focus is just reaching the Isle of Man. So I love the Isle of Man so much. I've got family and friends over there. So that's driving me to every stroke I do is getting to see you guys. So, at the moment, I'm very excited and I just really need to get going, really. I'm like a coiled spring.
Adam Diver speaking to Chanel there. Unfortunately, though, I have to tell you that Adam has had to abandon his challenge because of the weather. He did begin the 51 kilometre swim just before 8:30 this morning. However, at around 3:30 this afternoon, he did have to stop because of conditions. In a post on the event's Facebook page, which is the big swim to the Isle of Man, he says he's been strong and is fully intent on completing the record later on in the year. So we'll put a pin in that and wait for Adam's return. Everyone loves an underdog story. It makes it more interesting. And that's all your sport for now. So thank you very much for keeping me company this evening. Best of luck to everyone competing this weekend. Have fun, play hard, play smart, play safe. I will leave you with one last headline that's just come in. A police investigation looking into an accusation of foul play at a local sports event is currently underway. Concerns have been raised by a teacher who recently competed in a school sports day 100 metres skipping race and came dead last. She believes the event was fixed. Leading officer of the case, Mr. LeBron James, addressed the media earlier today.
Calm down. It's a very serious matter. It's so serious that I want to hear what the minister's got to say. In response to where we are, I think it's very serious.
Since that comment, the case has been closed and teacher reprimanded in custody for wasting police time and for being rubbish at skipping. That's it. Good night.
Manx Radio Sport, driven by Rex Motor Company. Find your dream car by visiting rexmotorcompany.in today or find us on Facebook.